some change happens without a corporation. But this passage says there are some things we have to intentionally do in order to become the people God has called us to be. We must cooperate with what God is doing in us. And that's what putting off the old self is about.
What does it mean to put off the old self? Find out next on this Tuesday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Hello and thanks for dropping in. In Ephesians 4:22, the Apostle Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." Pastor Paul takes us there today to show us what it means to put off our old self and how we can go about doing it. Be sure to visit PastorPaul.net to listen to this or any recent message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. But now here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, Choices Grownups Make.
Stronger, wiser, better is one of the themes we've had since this pandemic started. And I want to always remind you of it. You need to be getting stronger, wiser, and better. So putting off the old self is the first step in the three-step process of becoming what God wants us to be. Now, this business of putting off, I hope you hear the intentionality in Paul's words. He said, you've got to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You and I have to put it off. Don't ask God, Lord, take it off. Did you see? He didn't ask you to ask God to take it off. He said, you put it off. Intentionality. Some change happens without our cooperation in life. But other change requires intentionality. And I want you to just think about that in this installment of the series. Some change happens and you don't have anything to do with it. You don't even have to cooperate with it. It just happens. If you don't think change just happens, go to a mirror. Go to a mirror. If you're still struggling with wanting to believe that change has happened, take your clothing off in the mirror. I just shocked you into reality, didn't I? I just did zoom. Change happens. You didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. You remember when you were at your best physically? You were a specimen to be admired and sought after. But change set in. Now, these are older amens. Young folk, y'all laugh now. I remember when I used to laugh when the older people said stuff like that. I'd be sitting there in church cracking up. Oh, they so stupid. I remember when I was young and the world was ahead of me and there was nothing. I couldn't even imagine what could ever go wrong. And I just laughed as my daddy and the other people just talked about change. It happened. It happened physically. Without your cooperation, I know some of y'all still holding together pretty good. And as you move through the decades, you're still doing good. Congratulations. Wonderful. But you're still different. And it's now, ooh, for your age. See, people, when they say that, do you hear what's implied in there? They grain you on the curve. For your age, you are, somebody just said that to me 3-4 days ago. I was in San Antonio at my pastor's annual convocation. I spoke for one of the services and I was there supporting his convocation. And it was the high church day of the convocation. And we who are pastors had on our civics. That's my black suit, my black clergy shirt, and my white collar. And all of us were looking, you know, like penguins. All of us just preaching. And had my collar and stuff on. And one of the sisters, they see me. I preach in San Antonio often for my pastor or radio rallies or whatever. And one of the sisters hadn't seen me in a few years because of, and she said, "Pastor, ooh, for your age, you are," she said, "you are aging so well." She did. Walked up to me and said, "I'm aging real well." I had the nerve to enjoy it. I wasn't offended because I'm living in reality. Some of y'all got to join me in reality. No need to get mad. "What are you talking about for my age?" She meant what she said. For my age, change happens. So I tell young folk, I love you. I will never be one of your haters. When you find, you find. Go head on, young folk. Y'all got your build, your everything. You're looking real good, brothers. You got your six pack. Cool. Don't worry about those of us who have a barrel. You got a six pack. You're good. We got greater capacity. That's all that means. Sisters, y'all fine. And I'm challenging the ladies who are getting older in our ministry. Let's celebrate young people. Don't get mad. Get an attitude with them. She loved Jesus. She's a four. You love Jesus. You something else. Don't get mad. We all love Jesus. Change happens without your cooperation. It's that kind of change that we sang about in my high school graduation. I remember one of the songs we sang at Germantown High School. It doesn't exist anymore in Philadelphia. I graduated from high school in 1975. And one of the songs we sang, it was a new song then. I think it was written the year before. It was entitled "Everything Must Change." Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Wounded heart will heal. Never much too soon. Everything must change. I remember us singing that, young teenagers looking forward to life. And we were singing something we didn't fully understand now. I understand it a lot better in my mid-60s. That things are going to change up on y'all. And a few years later, George Benson recorded that song. And I still have it in my library, my music library. And it spoke of what Paul said, that change occurs. And some of it is without our being willing to participate. Some things are just going to change in your life. That's why you want to govern your life according to wisdom. Bible says the days of our years are 70. Perhaps we'll make it to 80. But Lord, teach us to number our days, Moses said in that psalm, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. See, Moses knew that. That was a psalm of Moses. David wrote most of them. But Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days. Don't just get older. Learn and grow and understand as you get older. Because the aging is inevitable, but the wisdom requires cooperation. You got to stop and think, and you got to grow. And things are going to change up on you. So just be ready for the change. Some change happens without a cooperation. But this passage says there are some things we have to intentionally do in order to become the people God has called us to be. We must cooperate with what God is doing in us. And that's what putting off the old self is about. You have to decide what about me has to change in order for me to do God's will. And he's waiting for me to be intentional about the change. See, that's why I love growing up in a hymn singing tradition. I grew up in a church that sang not only gospel songs, of course, gospel back, you know, I'm born in 57, so I'm a pew baby in the 60s, sitting on the pew. And they sang choruses and things, but it was very different back then. The choruses were things like, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name. Those are the kinds of things. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior. He, sweet, I know. Minister Joy sang it a little bit in this service earlier. I love him because he first loved me. I remember being a little boy watching the saints sing, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. They sang those songs too, and they had some songs that were kind of gospel-y, but we hadn't hit that full stride of gospel that folk know gospel as today. But even back then, the church said, but we're going to keep our music rooted in the hymns. That was all they did. Young folk, they gave us a Sunday once we all got to teens and starting to get saved. They said, y'all can have your service, and you can do a couple of your special selections, but you're going to sing these hymns. And they, even on Youth Day, they made us sing him. I'm so grateful for that.
Still ahead, the second half of today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. We want to thank all of you who sustained Destined for Victory with your prayers and financial support, gifts that help Pastor Paul stay on the air the whole year through. So as God leads, please prayerfully consider making a gift to Destined for Victory today. You can give securely online right now at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net or call 855-339-5500. Well, when it comes to overcoming bad habits or sin patterns, the surest path to victory always begins with surrender. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's message, Choices Grown-Ups Make.
And one of the hymns I'm thinking of as I think about this business of putting off the old self is, it was, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You see, it's intentional. I got to give it up. He's not going to yank it from you. There are things you've got to give up intentionally in order to do the will of God. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? This dude was rich, he was young, and he was a baller. That's the way I preach it. When I preach my series on that, I said he's not a ruler, he's a baller. This boy is a baller for real. He's in charge, and he's got everything going for him, but he runs up on Jesus and asks him, what do I have to do in order to gain eternal life? And Jesus said, well, how you doing with the commandments? And he said, oh, I got those covered. I've been obeying them since a child. Jesus said, all right, well, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have. He's rich. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Jesus didn't say, and give it to me. He wasn't a false prophet. Sell it, give it to the poor, take up your cross, and you can follow me and you can have eternal life. And the Bible says the young man walked away sad. Why? Because he's hoping Jesus is going to let him hold on to everything he's got like he's got it and just add eternal life. That's what some of us want today. I want to stay me. I want to do me. I want to have my way. The hymn some of y'all sing in your heart is, have my own way, Lord. Have my own way. I am the potter. If you want to, you can be the clay. But I'm the potter. That's not the hymn, y'all. To him is, have thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will while I am waiting, yielded and still. And when Baller walked up on Jesus and heard Jesus wasn't going to let him stay in charge of his stuff. Now, it's very interesting because after he walked away, the other apostles said, well, wait a minute. The other disciples said, well, wait. He had to give up everything. What's going on here? Jesus said, everybody has got to give me what I ask of them. Peter and them were fishermen. He said, leave that trade because I'm going to make you fishers, but of a different catch. And so the sons of Zebedee had to walk away from their dad. And Matthew, the tax collector, walked away from his trade. Everybody gave up something important to them just so Jesus could let them know, if you're going to be a follower and the leader I'm going to make you, you start at the place of surrender. So he wouldn't walk up to poor people and say, give up everything you got. We'd be like, bet, cool. That's all it takes to get eternal life. I got that right here. There you go. Jesus never walked up on a poor person and said, give me everything you got if you want to follow me. Like, cool. But he's going to go after what's in your heart. So there's the question for you to just begin to mull and just begin to imagine as we look at putting off the old things and getting ready to do God's will. I need you to look at your true self. What about you competes for the will of God? What is it about you? Is it a relationship? Is there somebody where you say, Lord, I'm going to give you all everything except him? You don't touch him. That's my boo. And the dude, that's my boo-ess. Don't come for my relationship. Well, I just showed up to tell you that's exactly what he's coming for. Because he will not allow something to compete with his lordship in our lives if we're going to call him our Savior and Lord. So he's saying, give them to me. It's up to me if I give them back to you. But the decision will be mine, not yours. You can't come and say, Lord, I know the word says I'm supposed to be living celibate because I'm not married. I realize that, but no, get that butt out of his way. Get that butt. I wasn't vulgar. B-U-T. Just one T. Get that out of his way. Get it out the way. You can't say this is untouchable. Everything else, Lord, you can have. I will go to church. I will give tithes and offerings. I will serve in some ministry or some volunteerism, something like that. I will do this, that, the other. But this, Lord, is untouchable. No, just the opposite. Whatever is in your heart is what he's coming for. Because God wants us to understand he can't be Lord if there are any contingencies that prohibit him from doing his will in your life. And so we've got to put off some things. What are the things? Who are the people? What are the situations in your life that he wants you to put off? Just send it away from yourself. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Walk away from it. And we need to take seriously his claim to call us to total surrender. So, you know, it's one thing to sing that Richard Smallwood song, I love, Lord, I will live. Everybody loves that song about surrendering to him. But it's another thing when you actually have to surrender. And you actually have to say, nevertheless, it's what he did in the garden. When there's something you really want to hold on to, and Jesus says no, then you've got to be willing to surrender it to him. Jesus knows what that's like because he went through it in the garden. He took 11 disciples into the garden with him. Judas had already gone to set up the betrayal. The other 11 were with him as he walked into the mouth of the Garden of Gethsemane. And then as he realized what he was going to have to agonize about, he had 8 of them. He said, you all stay here. And he walked a little farther into the garden with 3, Peter, James, and John. What does that tell you? Sometimes your crowd can be a hindrance to your surrender. Some of y'all got some people in your lives and they will agitate you not toward surrender, but toward holding on to the wrong things. And so sometimes you got to drop them off. They're in your 8. Y'all stay here. And you go on further to the place of surrender. He had 3 others that he wanted to be with him because he knew these would be key leaders. They needed to understand some things about him. And he invested more personal time in them. They were part of his inner circle. Peter, James, and John. They went a little farther and he began to pour out his heart to them. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Fellas, I feel like I'm about to die. Because he was about to die. Death didn't happen first on the cross. Death first happened in the garden. Long before he died physically, he died spiritually. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What in your life do you have to give up and say, nevertheless, I love it, I want it, but nevertheless, Lord, if you're coming for this, I surrender all.
The Garden of Eden is where man chose his own will over God's. The Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus chose God's will over his own. Choose to live in Gethsemane. Choose to surrender your will to God's. It will make all the difference. Thanks so much for stopping by for today's Destined for Victory message, Choices Grown-Ups Make. To hear any recent message from Pastor Paul, visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And as you may know, Destined for Victory exists only through the prayer and financial support of friends like you. You are the lifeblood of this ministry, and you're a big part of the reason why Pastor Paul is able to share the gospel through the media. In appreciation of your generous gift to Destined for Victory this month, we have a thank you gift of our own to share with you, Pastor Paul's booklet, Loving Others When It's Not Easy. As members of the body of Christ, we're called to be a loving, functional family, and that's easier said than done, especially given the various temperaments, backgrounds, and personal preferences we find in the church. But in this timely resource, Pastor Paul offers practical advice on how to minimize conflict, settle differences, and walk in love. That's Loving Others When It's Not Easy, a booklet from Pastor Paul, and our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 to make your pledge over the phone. Or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation from our website, PastorPaul.net. Need prayer today? Visit PastorPaul.net and use the contact feature to share your request with us so that our ministry team can join you in prayer. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation.
God loved us just as we are. In our sins, he died for us. He loved you as you were, but he never had any intention of leaving you as you were. Never, never, never. God doesn't save you to keep you the same. He saves us to change us, to make us like himself.
That's tomorrow when Pastor Paul Shepherd shares his message, The Process of Becoming New. Until then, though, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.